Use as directed.
It's Mornings with Dablo on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
After 8 o'clock, good morning. Welcome to, I call it the Thursday stretch. This is one of my my favorite hours of the week here. I get to talk history with Janet Gageland.
Yes.
I call her my walking history lesson every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good to see you in here.
It's good to be here.
What is our topic today, young lady?
Well, we talked last week that we would be doing the Crawford story, which is kind of like a companion to the Divot story. Robert Crawford was here beginning in 1881, and then, you know, he was here for a number of years. He didn't stay. He left the area and found employment in the Twin Sounds, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Okay. But some of his family members did stay, and like Walter and Mark Crawford, they had a farm, you know, that originally started with their father, John. So, you know, they stayed in the area and worked the land, but he did not. So anyway, he did come here as a child. He's got an interesting story, but like the Divot story, it kind of meanders around, like, you know, you have a random thought and you put it down and then you get back to what you were talking about. So, you know, it was hard to kind of connect everything, but, you know.
That Divot story is still fascinating.
Oh,
I
yes.
mean, it might be a little disjointed, but it's still a fascinating story.
Yeah. And this isn't quite like that. It's got little tidbits, but it mentions a lot of names of individuals and families who were here in the early years, which is good because his spelling is very correct. So in the Divot story, Guy Divot wasn't concerned about the name so much because he didn't really spell them out, you know. But Robert Crawford does. He says, like, you know, it's Back House, B-A-C-K-H, you know.
So he was a stickler for that.
Yes.
Yeah, getting it right.
So it wasn't Back House, it was Back House.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps a little bit when you're determining history.
Sure.
So names are good. But anyway, he was born in around the Rochester area, Eota, kind of, some older towns in that area. And he was born there by Dr. William Mayo.
Really?
From the Mayo Clinic. Yeah, that was the...
That's the tie-in.
Yes, isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
And then his father worked at a lumber company, and they were going to be doing some layoffs, and he thought his job was in jeopardy. So he was looking to go west, you know, which would be here. So he was buying wagons and getting his family. They had four children, and they were going to move west. And so they got some wagons, put their belongings in the wagons, and thought, well, we better find someone to help us drive these wagons because the kids were like five, you know. So he asked around, and one guy said, well, yeah. He said, my son just graduated from law school, and he's going to establish a law firm somewhere. So he's looking to go west. Okay, so, yep. So he hires him as a wagon driver. And it turns out that this guy is Porter McCumber, the first U.S. senator from North Dakota.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, whoa, that's a really big connection.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's awesome that Porter J. McCumber is your wagon driver until he gets out here and establishes his law firm and becomes a very famous person.
And the rest is history.
It is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they arrive here in 1881, and there were trains that came, you know, about as far as maybe Breckenridge, a little bit outside of that. But when they came, there must have been a lot of snow because there was a huge flood that covered the railroad tracks. And they had people standing on the tracks to make sure that the flood hadn't moved the rails, you know, because it was sometimes you couldn't even see, and sometimes you couldn't even hardly go because the water was so deep. So, I mean, that would be an experience as a child, too.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, and then they had an ox cart bridge, like where the bridge is now, but only wide enough for an ox cart. And so can you imagine how when it was wet outside, raining, whatever, it would be so slippery. And so going across that was life-threatening.
That's
there were no
treacherous,
side
right?
rails or
sure.
anything like that. So as I said, he kind of jumps around. So he says that, you know, There weren't any sidewalks in Wahpeton at that time. So individual people put boards in front of their businesses or their homes, and they were laid end to end. Well, some were narrow, some were short. There wasn't really any rhyme or reason. It was whatever you had, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'd step down, and if it had rained, then you'd step into a muddy mess. And if it was a short board, the back end would come up. And so it was kind of risky going down the sidewalks. But they made it, you know.
Risky and a little comical, too.
Yeah, right. Everyone had a barrel tank or a barrel on the back by the back door of their house. And there were people who would come along and fill those barrels. And they would charge them 25 cents to fill their barrel of water, which was maybe, what, 3-4 gallons, mm-hmm. not all that much. During the winter time, and even during the summer, there would be parties of Indians who came from the Wahpeton-Sisseton, so I'm assuming that, you know, South Dakota connection. So they would come in and they'd want to trade. Well, at that time, he says that First Street, that was as far as the city went.
Okay.
All right, so that wasn't very far. And it went about 2 blocks north of Dakota Avenue, which was called Pembina, I think, at that time. So there wasn't a lot of city. So everything around there was long buffalo grass.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come in with the things that they wanted to trade, and they would set up their teepees outside of the city on that prairie grass.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and then they'd come in and bring whatever they had. Wintertime, of course, they would come in with their furs mm-hmm. and try to sell them or trade them for something. There was a man who was brought in who had been attacked by a badger. The guy was sitting by a haystack, and all of a sudden this badger attacked him and just tore his mouth from the left side of his mouth to his ear.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be a little testy.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it was dangerous times, and luckily another farmer brought him in, and he sat outside of the doctor's office and got stitched up. Doesn't say if he had any kind of painkiller.
Oh, man, probably not.
Yeah, silver bullet to bite on, I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure, but, oh, that would be awful. They did a lot of spear fishing, especially on the Boise Sioux side, not the Otter Tail or the Red, but
okay.
So the south side of the bridge. And he would, Robert would sit in these little shanties that they built for fishing. And they weren't very big. But so anyway, this fellow had an ice fishing unit, and he was going to be doing some spear fishing. And so his bait was a piece of wood with a lead attached to it, and the string was wire. And so he would bob that up and down, and there were a lot of pickerels. So the pickerel would come up to the top of the hole that he had drilled,
yeah.
and then he'd spear him in back behind the head. And it was like, they were very, very plentiful.
And this is on the Boise Sioux.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, and they were very plentiful. In the summer days, they would actually just jump into the water, and you could, you know, grab a fish that was down in the mud or something. And
incredible.
I mean, it was just, yeah. I mean, they said at one time there was, the water had, the snow had melted in the top of the rivers, and on the ice was just water. And they had enough pickerel to fill the back of a wagon.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, yeah. And they said it was clear red water.
Not so much anymore.
No,
yeah.
It was a clay probably, but
mm-hmm.
When they built their first house, you know, they stayed in town for a while, and then they went out to west of here toward the Morton area
mm-hmm.
and got some land, and they built their first house, and they would go back and forth between here and the new home. And it was kind of a lean-to thing, you know, where you have a roof that's really only one side, and the other side is just kind of straight up and down.
Yeah.
So they were building this in the winter, and they were doing the roof in the winter. They had a kerosene heater, and they would bring that up to the top of the roof, and then they had a pail with water in it, and then that would warm up the nails, so the nails would be able to be driven into the wood for the roof. Ooh, that's pretty tough.
That is a fascinating story.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's that kind of stuff. He talks about a fellow who was frozen. He was a mail carrier, mail delivery person, and there was a blizzard, and he was trapped in the blizzard outside, and eventually he lost both of his legs, and he just sat in his chair all the time from then forward. And I'm like, whew. So anyway, that's kind of a little synopsis. There's a whole lot of information about how they turned over the farmland with an ox and you know, how he had to rein them from the outside, and mm-hmm. then one could walk behind. Can you imagine there was a 12-year-old boy who walked on the outside of this prairie, not level at all, and then his father was behind with the single plow.
Ox-driven.
Yep, and they would bring with them an anvil and hammer and things to sharpen that single plow blade because it would be so dulled. So anyway.
Incredible. Great story.
It's good stuff, yeah.
Good stuff. Talking Crawford history
yes.
this morning. What do you got for us next week? Well, are you still digging around?
Well, I have started, but there is a topic I think we're going to use, which is coffee.
Okay.
I think that'll be.
I can relate, definitely.
Well, I think next week is National Coffee.
I think you're right. Yeah. I have to Google.
Yeah,
but I think you're right on that.
Yeah, so I think there's a big coffee thing on Saturday.
Fantastic.
And so I thought, yeah, coffee's
a
good
got a Java Jump, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's perfect. Ties right
We won't
in.
Be able to talk about Java Jump, but that, you know, it'll be coffee.
Fantastic. Janet, always great having you in here.
Good
talking
to be here.
History. You bet. It's 8:19 here at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW Morning Zoo with Tom and Kathy's up next.
Join Andrew Zimmel every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on the Voice of the Valley for the Giant Sports Show. Brought to you by Giant Snacks, the biggest and best sunflower seeds in the world. And packed right here in beautiful Wahpeton, North Dakota. Giants, go big or go home.
Some days, I feel so down, I can barely get out of bed. Is this depression?
Mental Health Minnesota is here to help 7 days a week with resources, peer support, online screenings, connections to treatment, and crisis services. It's anonymous, confidential, and free of charge. Whether you're living with a mental health condition, are concerned about someone you love, or could use some support, Mental Health Minnesota is here for you. MentalHealthMN.org, sponsored by Mental Health Minnesota, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Here's a schedule of services for the Richland County Health Department for October. Foot Care Clinic Tuesday, October 10th and October 24th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wahpeton Senior Center. Health Track All Day on Thursday, October 12th at the Richland County Law Enforcement Center, second floor. Information on these and other services offered by Richland County Health are available at www.richlandcountyhealth.org.